This weekend at the box office, 1917 exploded onto the scene as Like a Boss was anything but an underwater sink. We're going over everything that happened at a theater near you on this, the 85th episode of What's in the Box Office. Cue theme music. Hello everyone and welcome to What's in the Box Office, your weekly look at movies and the money they make. Each week we sit down and pore over the weekend's box office returns and tell you what we think they mean for the industry at large. I'm your host, Brian.
I'm your host, Noah, and I can almost guarantee that when Underwater's cast and crew was looking at the returns this weekend, they were pleading for just mercy.
Ooh, well done.
Thank you. Speaking of, let's get to the top five. Number one.
Hopefully the Hollywood system won't hold a grudge against Kristen Stewart.
Well, she's having a rough stretch.
Bombshell! Her movies don't sell!
She should have been in Bombshell.
She should have. Who would she have played? John Gabris' character. Give him hell, Megan.
She, I think, definitely could have done Kate McKinnon's character.
She could. I mean, she could have done Margot's character.
Yeah.
Who else is in the movie at all? Because she's like a name. We'll say Kate. Yeah. That makes sense. Kate works.
Anyway, our top five. Number one was 1917. Expanded this weekend. It made $36.5 million. Say,
go ahead.
Say 5,809% increase. Brings it up to $39.2 million. Star Wars 9 came in at number 2 with $15 million. That was a 56.4% drop. That is up to $478.1 million. Jumanji The Next Level came in at number 3 with $14 million. A 46.6% drop, that's up to 257.1. Like a Boss opened at number 4 with $10 million.
Like a Boss.
And number 5 was Just Mercy, which also expanded this weekend. That made $10 million, a 12,952% increase for a total of $10.4 million.
Okay, feature presentation. 1917 crushes expectations, riding a wave of Golden Globe wins and Bravo filmmaking to remarkable opening weekend. Breaking at just the right time with its Oscar nominations just announced, the film should soar past $100 million. Next week should be fun to watch. It's comparable to Lone Survivor, which expanded with $37.8 million. Zero Dark Thirty, it made more, much more than that, which made $24.4 million. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, American Sniper, which exploded with $107 million. Black Hawk Down expanded in 2002. It made $28 million, so it's above that as well. All of these films had star power out the wazoo, in front of and behind the camera, all respect to Sam Mendes. Not to mention more audience-friendly stories than 1917, as World War II and the like.
Sure.
Black Hawk Down was just 6 months after 9/11. Zero Dark Thirty was 8 months after Bin Laden, or a year and a half after Bin Laden was killed, and American Sniper was the most red state movie you could have, and also just and none of them are World War II movies. Actually, Lone Survivor has the stacked cast, so
yeah.
And World War II sells more than World War II.
Yeah, they still all got things going for it.
This is crazy. And the Sam Mendes thing is interesting, as I said it out loud, because the marketing did heavily say from the director of Skyfall, which may have helped. But the film is a stunner and defies what's expected to be big at the box office, which is so fun to see. It's a terrific movie that, if you see it on the big screen, is really impactful. My mom cried multiple times, she said. Jumped out of her seat a bunch.
Sure.
She said, why didn't you tell me about the rats?
I was like,
I'm not
going
to tell you about the rats. I don't know what to tell you.
There are rats, though.
Yeah, there's rats at the beginning, and then no more rats. With nobody in the cast of note for any significant screen time.
Yeah.
A story that is not inherently familiar to audiences. It went on its technical merits, its reviews, and the Golden Globe wins, and this is just such a cool opening weekend, $36 million.
Yeah, it's very exciting, very deserving. And it's a it just shows you can sell whatever. You know, no one would necessarily think like Sam Mendes is bankable on his own. Like you said, World War One is not a sexy property in the way that. World War II is.
There's such defined villains in that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we've seen so much from World War II that we're familiar with it. There's not a lot of World War One material out there. And nobody's in it for more than 5 minutes. They're like, guys, this movie has a very simple story. Mm-hmm. The marketing was very like, listen, gotta go save your brother.
Yeah.
If you don't, 1,600 people will die. That's the movie.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well.
Worked out so well. Also opening this weekend, Like a Boss opened in fourth with $10 million. Turns out wasn't nearly as potent a combination of star, story, and timing as one would have thought. Theatrical comedies are incredibly hard to open, and Haddish apparently can't open a film on her name alone. The film needed either rave reviews or just a really strong hook outside of just Haddish and Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
It's lower than Nobody's Perfect and might have shown us that Haddish isn't a name yet. She needs one other big component, and this didn't have it. A shame. Underwater also opened in seventh place with $7 million. The surprisingly solid horror flick completely bombed. Stewart can't open a movie, but there was hope that the premise could carry it as an early January horror film, something we're apparently still waiting on to break big. Once audiences see this on TNT in 2 years, they'll be surprised how good it is, and we will have told them so. Another shame.
Yeah.
In its second weekend, The Grudge kerploded to 12th place, making $3.5 million, an odd number to find in 12th place. 69% drop, $17.9 million total. I have nothing else to say. It's going to get over $20 million, and that's like, think what the first one made in like its opening day, so... Oh, well.
All right. Never going to see The Grudge again.
And in our spotlights, I only have one. A lot of things are going to pass spotlights soon. So I do just want to talk. And a lot of movies are coming down to earth. Some harsh drops for Little Women and certainly Uncut Gems, which is going to really hope to make it to 50. But Just Mercy expanded after 2 weeks in limited release. Made a pretty decent $10 million this weekend for this kind of like courtroom drama that doesn't really have much Oscar heat behind it. That's a really solid opening, and I think all of it is due to Michael B. Jordan. I think we can give it to Jamie Foxx helps, Brie Larson helps, but I think a lot of this is because of him. $4,210 per theater average is pretty decent. We'll see how the film holds. If Jamie Foxx can pull a surprise nomination tomorrow, which is or today, which is unlikely, but possibly he's nominated for the SAG. That would help its chances. But other than that, if this film, which I believe received, I'm going to check here, an A-plus cinema score.
Wow. That's pretty good.
An A-plus cinema score. It could leg it out, and we could see this get to over 30, which I think would count as a win for this type of movie in today's day and age. So weird. On CinemaScore's website, 1917 is 2 asterisks, and I want to know why.
They didn't actually ask anyone. They just assumed people would like it.
That is an A-minus CinemaScore. Like a Boss, what do you want to guess that has as a CinemaScore?
C+.
B, close. Okay. And Underwater?
Underwater has a B+.
C.
Damn.
Horror movies don't get that well rated. Okay. Before we move on, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of What's in the Box Office is brought to you by The Box. Say no, let's play everyone's favorite game. Did it make more or less than the box? We don't know how to play. I'll say the title of a film, and you tell me whether it grossed more or less than the box. Remember, you get an extra point for remembering the film, either who was in it or what it was about beyond the title. You got very excited there at the end.
New year. New chance to go perfect. We really should
keep score for this. Let's do it this year. Let's keep score for these.
Okay.
I don't know how many more of these I have in me, but... All right, your first movie is, and you're going to get this right away, but whatever, Black Hat.
Black Hat was Chris Hemsworth, the hacker.
Mm-hmm. Tagline, we are no longer in control. Remember the director of Black Hat?
Yeah, Michael Mann.
Okay, remember a lot about Black Hat. All right, good, great. Did that make more or less in the box?
Less.
Correct. Your second film is Martian Child.
Martian Child.
A movie I saw in theaters.
Martian Child,
I was 16. I think I went by myself.
You were 16?
The story of a man becoming a father and a boy becoming a son.
Does that movie feature Kevin Spacey?
No. That's K-Pax.
Damn.
So you're thinking of a poster of like him with blue and
sunglasses? I remembered K-Pax. I think I vaguely remember this movie. And if it's what I'm thinking of, I never really knew what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's about a man who either through adoption or tragedy comes to... be in guardianship of a young boy.
He certainly didn't try to adopt this kid.
Okay.
This is the kind of movie where the guy is like, kids?
Yeah.
Blah.
So, like, his sister dies in a car crash. And he has to adopt his nephew or whatever. And the boy's like, I'm from Mars. And the guy's like, whatever, weirdo. But then they come to bond and appreciate each other. And there's some scenes that are, like, a little too sad for what they're trying to do.
He does adopt the kid.
Hey.
Widowed 2 years prior, as they were trying to adopt a child, is finally matched with a young boy. Initially hesitant, he is drawn to the child because he sees aspects of himself and his own awkward childhood in the boy. I need the person who was in it.
I need the person who was
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, although, you know what, I'll give you 3/4 of a point. I need you to get the person, though. And I can give you some clues.
All right, I would like one clue.
Part of a famous family. At least one sibling also acts. They're also in this movie. They have the "and" credit on the poster.
Okay. Ben Affleck.
Mark no. Wahlberg. No. Lower profile.
Lower profile.
Yeah.
A
guy you like, even though he hasn't been in anything recently.
Interesting.
But he's right up your alley. And he might be from your alley, because he's a local boy.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I should know this.
Yeah, you're going to kick yourself.
Yeah, I often do. Due to my flexibility.
His sister is the famous actor as well.
Oh, it was John Cusack.
Yeah.
Okay.
John Cusack and John Cusack. I'll give you a point for Martian Child. It's the new year. More or less in the box?
More.
Nope, less.
Damn.
And finally, The Finest Hours.
The Finest Hours, I believe, is a fairly recent film that starred...
Huge cast.
All right, well, I think one of the people was James Franco.
No.
No?
No.
No. Oh, wait, hang on. Was Finest Hours the boat movie with Chris Pine?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Yeah, it was...
Chris Pine, Casey Affleck, Ben Foster, Eric Bana, others.
Right, I was just about to say all the rest of those guys.
Mm-hmm. 32 survivors, room for 12.
Yeah. The boat movie with Chris Pine, where that's I thought right. He was doing like an accent, but then it turned out he wasn't.
More or less in the box?
More.
That's correct.
All right.
The box. Wait, how many points did you get?
Five.
Five. Okay, you marked it down. The date? Five points. The box. A movie that, in all honesty, was made by very hardworking people. And we're back. Coming gone from a theater near you, Noah, take us back in time.
All right. Let's talk about 2013.
You got it.
Two movies opened this weekend.
Boy, oh boy. January is going to be tough.
Yes, it is. They opened behind the number one, which was a big expansion.
Lone Survivor?
No.
Zero Dark Thirty.
That was the expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I'm just getting my...
Yeah, Zero Dark
Thirty. Getting my feet on the ground. Did Paddington.
Number one, no.
Was it a horror movie?
We're looking for a comedy horror.
What?
And...
A haunted house.
Correct.
Which made $18 million.
Absolutely right. 18.1, yeah. But that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, so Haunted House did open at number 2 with 18.1.
Uh-huh.
Another movie opened at number 3.
Uh-huh.
We're looking for a crime drama.
Fuck. What's the one that I tried to get you to guess on? On what's in the... did it make more or less in the box? With Kate Winslet and Casey Affleck? What was it?
Kate Winslet.
What was that called?
Affleck.
You said it was Den of Thieves. I said no.
Triple Nine?
Yeah, is that it?
No, it is not that.
Okay. No, I need something else.
Okay.
Did I see it? Probably not.
No, I'm guessing you did.
What? Okay.
A-list cast.
That's not gonna help. A-list cast.
Yeah.
Made less than $18 million, so it wasn't a hit. Were they A-list at the time, or is it just like looking back, what a cool cast? Is it like Ocean's 11, like holy shit, look who we got? Or is it like...
No, it might have been like just before true A-listery. But I think even at the time, it's like, oh, this is a good get.
No, give me something.
All right. The male and female leads have appeared in many things together. They are a sort of present-day iconic couple.
That's very iconic. That's
I mean, like...
Oh, Gangster Squad.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Iconic's a strong word.
Pushed but... pushed from, August, I think, because of the Dark Knight Rises shootings.
Okay, that's right.
The scene with the theater.
Sure.
Yeah, I watched it on an airplane.
Okay.
That's how I saw Gangster Squad, directed by Ruben Fleischer.
That's correct.
Yeah. That made 14.
17.
It made 17?
Yeah.
That's pretty good for Gangster Squad. I think it probably cost a lot, though, be my guess. I actually don't want to find out how much it cost. Gangster.
And yeah, looking back at their IMDb 60 pages,
60 to 75.
I think it's. I think by then it's safe to say that Emma Stone was like a.
She was a thing. Yeah.
Was a star, and Ryan Gosling was like, hey, yeah. This guy could be a.
This guy could be
a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. The below the line is nuts. Mackie, Robert Patrick. I don't care about BC. I don't care about Robert Patrick either. Michael Pena, Marie Elnos.
I believe Nick Nolte.
Josh Pence, if I'm not mistaken, was the Social Network guy who got fucked out of that, yeah.
And, of course, Big Sean Penn.
Yeah, I just meant below the line.
Yeah, right? I know, just also saying.
Fuck Sean Penn. Sure. What?
I said sure.
Frank Grillo as Jimmy Reagan. Okay, Noah Domus, how'd you do?
I went too high on Like a Boss, gave that 17.
Yeah.
But I did call for Underwater to make 7, so...
Whoa, on the dot. Hit.
Absolutely.
You have two movies, and we're doing a 4-day, because it's Martin Luther King weekend.
Okay.
So we're doing a 4-day. Your first movie is Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life.
16 years after Bad Boy 2 opened in July to $46.5 million, we get a long in gestation.
Gestation.
It was the long end that fucked me up. Sequel. Do audiences want another round with The Boys? Unlike previously the long-awaited IP, this is a franchise that worked because audiences like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence together, so getting them back is huge. This isn't a sequel resting on the idea of two funny cops shooting people in a Bad Boys movie.
Right.
This is a sequel bringing back the working components of its predecessors. Opening on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend is smart, as the film positions itself as the first event movie opening on a long weekend of the year. It's the same weekend we saw Ride Along open to 48.5 over its 4-day. Ride Along 2, 41, and last year Glass opened to 46.5. Has too much time passed since installments? Does Michael Bay's absence hurt its chances, as he is a marquee director? Will Smith seems to need a franchise to score recently. Men in Black 3 opened 10 years after the last film in the franchise, bringing back Smith and Tommy Lee Jones together again, and it opened in May to $69 million over the 4-day Memorial Day weekend.
Christ.
What?
That's insane.
This week could be a welcome return to the screen for Martin Lawrence, as his last major film was the 5 years later threequel Big Mamas, Like Father, Like Son, in 2011, which opened to 16.3, which is insane. I say that's way more insane than Men in Black making money on Memorial Day. Is $16 million worth of people were like, Big Mama, 3? Yeah. So our audience is ready for the first big action film of the year, or is too much time passed? Or are the ingredients right on this IP extension?
I think this is going to be one of those cases where, in my gut, I think that no, the world has moved on from Bad Boys. But my gut is occasionally misled. I'm guessing this is going to be one of those times when, in fact, it turns out the world still likes Bad Boys and is ready for a third one. So I'm going to say $35 million. Dollars.
And Doolittle is your second film. Universal Pictures overspent initially, and with major reshoots for the newest franchise play for Robert Downey Jr., $175 million is insane, but here
we
go.
Holy shit!
You must
like,
have
I knew that number, but still, when you say it out loud, I can't help but be like, I come in and be like, I know they spent too much on Doolittle. Yeah. I know it had a big budget. I'm not going to be shocked by the number. Shocking.
With Jumanji cooling down and Rise of Skywalker never really taking off, the family market could be primed for a comedic adventure film. Downey's first big venture since Endgame will make this interesting to watch. The cast is simply stellar. I mean, truly, you have Craig Robinson.
He's hardly ever in films.
No, but like Antonio Banderas, Michael Sheen, Jim Broadbent, just on the live action side, Emma Thompson, Rami Malek, John Cena, Kumail Nanjiani, Octavia Spencer, Tom Holland, Ralph Fiennes, Selena Gomez, Marion Cotillard, Jason Mantzoukas as a wisecracking dragonfly, just a killer cast. Though trailers have been bewildering as to the tone of the film, kids won't care though. If they want to see a talking animal adventure movie with Iron Man, they will. Do they? Do enough of them? RDJ made a blockbuster franchise out of Sherlock Holmes, helping those two films open to $62.3 and $39.6 million, respectively, over Christmas 2009 and 2011. A third is on the way. But those had the holiday and were seen as adult action franchises you could bring your kids to, as opposed to strictly children-based, as this is.
Sure.
Can't imagine too many adults racing to Doolittle. The probable reviews won't help, but again, its true target audience won't care if they want to see it. The departure from Eddie Murphy's Dr. Doolittle films make comparisons worthless, but they opened to $29 and $25 million in 1998 and 2001. By the way, the first one opened to $29 and I believe legged it to $144,
yeah.
Which is why we got a sequel and probably why we're getting this one. This smells like a big flop, but Downey hasn't had a broad film flop since he became Iron Man, with Due Date, Tropic Thunder, and the Holmes films doing best-case scenario business. I'm not counting The Judge or The Soloist,
as
they were not the broad audience films. Who wins out, our guts or Iron Man?
I think this movie is going to be a disaster.
Uh-huh.
The highest I can possibly go is $12 million.
Oh my god. Okay. All right, fine.
I know. I'm not exaggerating when I think it's going to be a disaster.
Oscar nominations. Here we go. They were announced. We know them. Let's talk about them.
Maybe. As always, perfect. Knocked it out of the park. Got it
exactly right. Everything I hoped would happen.
Every year.
It's crazy how they get inside my brain and they just do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so much like your brain, because it's not just like they picked the ones you want, but they're the right picks.
They're
objectively correct.
You couldn't pick better nominees. Yeah.
And they didn't.
Well, listen, there was some good. I think, you know, it's interesting. There was only a few, like, yay bright spots. Everything else that happened that I enjoy was going to happen.
Sure.
So it's not, like, a super surprise to me, like Greta in writing. But there were certainly more. What the fuck is going on? So,
classic.
Let's talk about it. Okay. I apologize to the documentary and live action and animated shorts. We're not going to talk about you. Not even the docs, although Apollo 11 getting snubbed is apparently egregious. This must be a good movie.
Yeah, that's very surprising.
Yeah, it is. But Honeyland will probably win, I think, because that's the one I've heard the most about.
Sure. There's also American Factory.
American Factory, For Sama, I've heard is good. Yeah, those are all there. So let's do foreign. What do we got? Pain and Glory. This is me going off memory, but that won't help. You have the nominees you.
For international feature film, excuse me, Pain and Glory, as you mentioned. We also have Corpus Christi out of Poland. Honeyland from North Macedonia, Les Miserables from France, and Parasite from South Korea.
Les Miserables.
Anything have a shot to dethrone Parasite there?
I guess Pain and Glory had a best actor nom, but no.
Cool.
No. And I no longer think Parasite's winning picture, I don't think. Unless it wins... If Parasite wins the SAG...
Okay.
I think we can all freak out, because that'd be crazy. It was crazy it was nominated. It's crazy it might win. All right. Yeah, Portrait of Lady on Fire, not eligible, which is good news for us, is that's not coming out around here till after the Oscars. But when we see that, do you then consider that a 2020 film or 2019? Because technically it was released in theaters in 2019.
Yeah. So 2019.
Yeah. Damn, my list will have ended. It won't be added to it.
Yeah. You can adjust your list.
No, I can't. My list is final.
Definitely can. Shouldn't be.
Well, it is in that capsule. I still see movies, but I just don't continue adding them to my list, those lists. But anyway, what category should we do next? I have, where is it? I have, on the Academy website, the one at the bottom is writing. So why don't we do that?
Sure.
Best Original Screenplay. The nominees are Rian Johnson for Knives Out, Noah Baumbach, Marriage Story, Sam Mendes and Christy Wilson, Karens, 1917, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite, Bong Joon-ho, Han Jin-won. That's a good category. That's a real strong category.
Yeah.
One of the strongest of the night, I think.
And yet definitely going to Tarantino?
Yeah, that. I mean, well, Marriage Story or Parasite could pull it out, but it seems like it's sewn up to give Tarantino some because he's not winning director. No, he's not winning director. So, yeah,
Well, it's because it's going to good old.
Shut the fuck up. I know what you're going to say.
I call him toilet paper.
What?
TP, Todd Phillips.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I like Thank that. You. No, that's good category.
It's going to wipe it up.
That's not a saying.
No one's ever been named toilet paper before.
Clean up.
Sure.
You know the awards. We'll do that clean too. Up, yeah.
So you're on board.
Rian Johnson using Knives Out's box office and popularity, Lionsgate powered it. I thought they'd maybe get a picture nom out of it. They didn't, but this is Ryan's first nomination, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Noah Baumbach, I feel like, has been nominated before. And that's just a really strong category.
Yeah, bunch of good movies.
Best Adapted Screenplay, Steve Zaillian, The Irishman, Taika Waititi, Jojo Rabbit, Todd Phillips and Scott Silver, Joker, Greta Gerwig, Little Women, and Anthony McCartan, The Two Popes. Take out Joker, that's also a strong category.
Yeah, but you can't, though.
I can't. But
Joker lives.
I think Irishman takes this in a walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Though, I don't know. They don't seem too enamored with the Irishman generally.
How many noms did the Irishman get? Do you have the tally?
No, I didn't find, but if my control F feature is to be believed, it's 10.
Well, that's a lot of nominations. Yeah, that's a lot.
It is. That's a big number, and it is 10.
Double digits.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Joker getting in there was expected. Somewhere else it pops up was less so. Sure. But whatever, I think that's a strong category. And visual effects, Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, The Lion King, 1917, Rise of Skywalker. 1917 is really cool because they had to do a lot of that with visual effects. Yeah. And also you could insinuate that the piecing the film together to be one shot as a visual effect, as I like to think of visual effects as affecting what you see visually. So, like, that's why if I would have nominated the Lego movie in visual effect, and I think some animated movies should be in visual effects because that is, it's not practical effects, it's what you visually see. And
yeah.
So
that's a, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I don't think you can make that argument for 1917 for both visual effects and for editing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make it, it's got to be for one or the other because they are, they are two distinct categories.
Well, then the dogfight alone.
Sure.
And even just the ending with the running. I mean, those explosions and shit. They
weren't actually happening?
No, they were, but that has to be set up and shit like that. I think that counts as a visual effect. But Lion King's also good to see because those effects were incredible. And everything else is pretty basic. That was a really strong showing for The Irishman that they really liked the...
Yeah, not your usual visual effect kind of nominee.
Yeah, it's they really like the de-aging shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Sound mixing, which Noah can tell you the difference between mixing and editing.
Sure. It's mixing is levels, editing is the what the sounds are, basically.
So, mixing, Ad Astra, Ford v. Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And editing, Ford v. Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and The Rise of Skywalker. Nice plug for Ad Astra.
Yeah, that's cool to see.
Deserving as well. The Joker thing is baffling. What sound are they talking about? Give me one a true example.
His dialogue.
No, like I guess we could consider that to be like... Yeah, a good example of the sound mixing and editing.
Yeah, that thing where he laughs and then walks around the corner is impeccably mixed.
Okay.
I don't think you can count that for editing because he just did it.
Do you have an actual...
No.
Yeah, because it's...
Joker's bad.
It's insane.
Perhaps...
Maybe like the riots at the end or something?
The sound of him stabbing that guy in the face in his apartment. No, I don't know.
That's insane. That's insane.
They just like Joker.
Since they really did, that's insane. And Star Wars only getting in there for one is interesting. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for mixing is interesting, too.
Yeah, I never really entirely know where they go with these. I don't know how they do it.
I just don't see a movie like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, especially because it's very not... It's not... A Django or Inglourious was a lot of explosions and shit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, to me, it's kind of like watching soccer. In that, like, you can watch soccer, you can look at, like, the best highlights, you look at, like, a goal from incredibly far out, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's clearly impressive. Mm-hmm. But you also know there's just, like, a bunch of shit going on at all times that, like, fans of soccer are like, holy shit, this is really exciting. Yeah. Look what that guy's doing, and look at this formation over here. But as a casual at best watcher of the World Cup, just kind of look at it and go, I have no fucking idea what's going on. And it's the same thing. Like, I'm sure a trained sound engineer can watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and go, holy shit! Look at all these little tricks and nuances and things going on in here.
Well, the dog food can hitting that woman was incredibly... They were like, ooh, that sounded
good.
But
But like I can recognize when 1917 sounds really good. Yeah. It's big and bold and impressive, but yeah. I don't know the tricks. I don't know the nuances.
Listen, I don't think they're really going for fucking nuances. As Joker was nominated in both these categories, but it's just interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has stuff going on, Joker might too.
I guess. Production design: The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. I love the Parasite nomination.
Yeah.
It takes place only in that house, but I love the fact that they recognize how cool that house was.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the house. I mean, it's their neighborhood. Oh, it's also...
Their neighborhood's a great point, yeah. Especially when they come back during the rain. Yeah. That whole thing.
Briefly, that gym they go to during the rain.
Yeah, that's not... It's just a gym. But yeah, I think that's a really cool nomination. I also like the Jojo Rabbit nomination. And everything else. And also 1917. Because you'd think that's just outdoors, they put mud. But I was really impressed with the production design. All the different, like, textures of where they went. Yeah. Just how everything was, you know, the mud to the grassy hills to the burned out city.
Yeah, and like the fucking, the trenches and that, the barbed wire. And yeah.
And just that, the white trenches at the end, just like that striking color. Yeah, that's a really strong nomination.
It's also nice to not see Joker in there.
I thought it would get it too, especially because it was just steamrolling. That's a strong category. I like that category. Best original song: I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away, Toy Story 4, I'm Gonna Love Me Again, don't know why it can't just be one title, from Rocket Man, I'm Standing With You from Breakthrough, Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, and Stand Up from Harriet. So, Toy Story 4 did get in, Randy Newman gets his upteenth Oscar nomination, and with Harriet, Cynthia Erivo gets an Oscar nomination, her first one ever. And I say this was her first because it was announced.
Yeah, first. I think that tracks.
Which is very exciting. And that's all. And Diane Warren, who's never won, gets her, what did I say, 11th?
You did say 11th.
11th Oscar nomination, which is wild.
Yeah. No Spirit.
Beyonce, no Beyonce.
Beyonce got snubbed.
No Beyonce. Do you think that if Swift and Andrew Lloyd were eligible, they'd get nominated based on their names in that song?
I don't.
I think the stigma over cats would keep it out.
I think if Beyonce didn't get nominated based on her name, then the stigma over cats would be enough to...
Can you look up the shortlist while I do this next one? I just want to be 100% sure they were still in. Original score: Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Randy Newman and Thomas Newman, both nominated in score. And other than Joker, even with Joker, that's a strong category. Those are all really good scores. I guess I didn't notice The Rise of Skywalker, but I really just love Rey's theme. So when that came back in the movie, I enjoyed that. But Little Women, Marriage Story, and 1917 are just three bangers.
I maintain that the sort of line from film Twitter of like, listen, Joker sucked, but it was a good score, though. Mm-hmm. Wasn't bad score. Didn't like it. Mm.
I feel like I remember liking it, but...
Too just like obviously brooding and orchestral and... lame.
Just like the whole movie. Describe the movie.
I did.
What shortlist? What do you got?
Yeah, so Spirit was on the shortlist.
Okay, so it was eligible. Yeah. They didn't do it.
I know.
Can you look up for me his makeup and hairstyling? I think on Wikipedia you can just go by category and look at the nominees. I just want to see when it turned to 5.
Oh, I see.
Because we do have 5. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, in 1917. Love seeing 1917. I was noticing all that mud and shit and like the dust after the cave-in.
Yeah.
On them the whole time. How many times they had to reapply that and shit. It looked great. The Bombshell's obvious. The Judy makes sense. The Maleficent's a cool nomination. And I guess someone had to paint his face in Joker. That's one of those, too, that's just like, what? Why? With the sounds. They painted in costume, which we haven't gotten to yet, but they painted his face. He wore a ratty suit. This is the best example we had this year.
I guess, yeah. It seems.
His hair looked greasy. Holy shit. Give them a trophy. Seems what?
Well, they're going to. It seems that this was, in fact, the first year.
No
that,
shit.
Yeah, last year was only Vice, Border, and Mary Queen of Scots.
Terrific. It's been three forever, and I've never understood why. And it also, when I was younger, made it... Well, it's also when I was younger, made it a... seemed like a lesser category.
Sure.
When I was like 9 and 10, I was like, oh, the makeup shit, only yeah. three. But no, it should be it, five. It's a proper category.
In 2002, it was two.
Yes, that was Lord of the Rings. Nope. And, nope. I remember, you'll say mine, though. Go ahead.
Frida won and The Time Machine.
The Time Machine, that's right.
And nominated two movies. One of them was The Time Machine.
Even though I think Lord of the Rings had like won the year prior, but yes. That couldn't be bothered for the sequel. Those orcs were just less impressive.
It won the year prior and the year following. It did not look as good. In 1999, it was four.
But it should be, like all categories, five.
Yes.
Like all categories.
Yes. I hear your point. I just want to point out that in 1999, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, was nominated for makeup and hairstyle.
Terrific, as it should have been. Best Picture should be five nominees.
Best, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Best International Feature, which... they changed from foreign language film, but they made a film from an African country that I cannot remember right now, ineligible, because it was in English, right. Because yes. English is their spoken language. Well, it's not foreign language film anymore. It's international, and that was made not here.
Yeah.
So fuck you. It is eligible.
And like, on the one hand, I get still having a requirement, so we're not just fucking nominating like The Darkest Hour and shit.
Yeah, or like a Canadian movie. But... Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, just fucking just look at it and realize that in this case,
it's not it's not national. It's
yeah. That this is not.
Like,
it's not from the fucking UK.
Right. It's not from a, you know, yeah, it's not from the UK, it's not from Canada. Like, it's just, it's...
The whole point is to highlight, like, you know, we as a sort of Western movie-going culture watch movies from, like, four places.
Yeah.
And, like, really one place, but occasionally we expand to, like, four places.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take a look at the movies that come from all the other fucking places.
It's real.
And that was one of them. That was silly.
We already did these, though. We talked about them. Sorry. Film editing.
Yes.
Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, and Parasite. No Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is honestly huge for me that didn't get in. And yeah, it's also
that is interesting.
And it's also huge that Parasite got in, because I thought that would be left out for Once Upon a Time or something similar. So I'm really glad Parasite got in. I'm really glad Ford v. Ferrari got in, because I love the editing in that movie.
Yeah.
How
much
JoJo's cool? What?
How much are you bought into the thing people occasionally say of you know, you can look at film editing and kind of have a picture of what the five best picture nominations?
I don't buy into that anymore.
No,
I feel like we've got I feel like we've gotten too far away. We've had too many. If you go to editing, since you're already kind of near that area, and look through the past few years, I'm sure you'll find some random examples that kind of debunk that theory. But I'm happy for JoJo and Irishman Thelma Schoonmaker, who is Martin Scorsese's. Yeah, her, his longtime editor. It's got to be her upteenth nomination.
Yeah. Even 2017, Baby Driver, probably not nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think last year was probably pretty good.
Baby Driver's dope nomination, though, for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Last year, Rhapsody, Black Klansman, The Favorite, Green Book, and Vice.
Yeah, that could have been the five. But there's no way Ford v. Ferrari was one of the five this year.
2015 at Force Awakens.
Yeah, see. That's a weird one. Yeah, that's not even like a Baby Driver. You're like, yeah, I get Baby Driver.
Yeah.
It's an editing, you know, showcase. Force Awakens is just a movie. Documentary feature, American Factory, The Cave, The Edge of Democracy, For Sama, and Honeyland. I've heard of three of those.
And I have heard of two of them.
For Sama is a PBS thing.
Okay.
So it should be easy to find. I've never heard of The Cave or The Edge of Democracy. I hope they're on Amazon. Best costume design, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I love the Jojo nom. I think those shoes. Yeah, I just think that's a great choice, because the costumes in that are like almost like Beatles pop while maintaining historicalness.
Yeah,
and it really fits the theme of and the culture of the movie. So I think that's cool, and I don't get Joker. Cinematography, The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Strong category, really strong. I get the Joker one there. I like the Joker cinematography. It's not in my five, but I do like their cinematography. The Lighthouse, I posted something on Facebook saying, like, it probably won't happen, but it possible but probably won't happen nominee wish list.
Uh-huh.
And that was on there, Lighthouse for cinematography.
Yeah, and very exciting.
Spoiler alert, so was Florence Pugh, so I'm glad that happened. But that's a dope nomination.
Yeah.
People will see The Lighthouse. It's exciting.
I'm really into it.
And everything else makes sense. Animated feature. Okay. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, Toy Story 4. The biggest animated film of all time. Snubbed.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That is wild.
I don't get it. Frozen 2 was really good.
Frozen 2, not in the running for animated feature. Klaus takes its place. A Christmas Netflix movie featuring Justin Bieber. Premiered like in December or November or something like that.
Just the time to premiere Klaus.
Jesus Christ, that's nuts. What is good news for us, just for us seeing the movies, but like no weird G-Kids movie.
Yeah.
No weird French movie. And by weird, I mean hard to find. Obscure,
yeah.
I think is more a better word.
Sure.
But Klaus and I think... I keep wanting to say I think I lost my body. I don't know why. Klaus and I Lost My Body are both on...
Is I Lost My Body not like an obscure French movie?
No, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
I don't know if it's French, but it's on Netflix.
It's made by Jeremy Clapin and Marc Dupont-Tovens.
Yeah. But all I know is that it's on Netflix.
Maybe it's Canadian.
And Missing Link's on Hulu, which is nice. And then we get into the acting, so let's get into it. But that's wild that Frozen 2 didn't get
nominated. Yeah.
Speaking of wild, actress in a supporting role. Kathy Bates, Richard Jewell, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson, Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh, Little Women, Margot Robbie, Bombshell. Speaking of Bombshell,
yes.
No Jennifer Lopez.
Which is like...
wild. She had everything.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez was the one that would win if it wasn't Laura Dern.
Yeah.
She was second.
She's the Paul Giamatti.
Now she's sixth.
She's the Paul Giamatti this year. But everyone's like, oh yeah, if Jamie Foxx wasn't nominated,
yeah,
then Paul Giamatti will win for Sideways. And then not even in the running.
Nope.
Just another thing, pants, man,
that Jennifer Lopez and Paul Giamatti have in common.
No, Kathy Bates gets in for Richard Jewell. Scarlett gets her first of two nominations this evening. She's the 13th person to be double acting nominated.
Oh, that's cool.
And Florence Pugh becomes Oscar nominee Florence Pugh.
Yeah, that's
which is delightful and warms my heart. And this is a terrific performance, and I'm so happy.
She's off to a good start. She's very young.
So happy she'll be there. Actress in a lead. Fuck that. It's dumb Academy. Actor in a supporting role. Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes. Al Pacino, The Irishman. Joe Pesci, The Irishman. And Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The only acting category that went 5 for 5.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, Catch Me If You Can.
He was in that.
Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Captain Phillips. Sully. Save Mr. Banks. The Post. Not nominated for any of them.
No. Shouldn't have been nominated for The Post, at least.
Hasn't been nominated since Castaway. Our most beloved actor kept getting snubbed.
Yeah.
Year after year after year. Finally nominated again 20 years after Castaway, because his first nomination for Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Very exciting for me.
Yeah. He's got the... He's got that sort of quality to his performances that's just very, like, down-home and low-key and calm.
Sure.
That just, like, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been nominated, but I'm not surprised he hasn't been nominated.
I'm
like,
surprised he was nominated for Captain Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, Captain Phillips is, I think, the only one on that list that was, like, a... He had, like, a big Oscar time.
Yeah.
But, like, missing for one in... with the Oscars, is that's gonna happen every time.
I'm just saying.
But like Castaway was a big Oscars performance.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't like loud, but this was like he's doing Mr. Rogers. He's doing a thing,
and he's great in it too.
He is.
But I mean, he's playing Walt Disney.
Yeah, but that was a movie that nobody cared about.
It's wild that in the 90s he won twice,
yeah,
and then was nominated two other times for Apollo 13 and Saving Private Ryan, and then just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing for a decade.
Well, he was like a movie star then.
Nothing for two decades. This movie started in the 2000s. Catch Me If You Can made a fuckload of money. The Da Vinci Code made a fuckload of money. I mean, he was a movie star then, but like... That it's just weird for two decades, nothing. Nice to see him get nominated. And Pesci's back. I mean, there's nothing really much to say in that category. Best actor in a leading role. Antonio Banderas, Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver, Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, and Jonathan Pryce, the two popes. So give or take Antonio Banderas, that's pretty much what we expected.
Yeah.
Banderas gets his first Oscar nomination, which seems crazy. DiCaprio gets his upteenth, Driver gets his second, Joaquin gets his third, I want to say, Gladiator and Walk the Line.
Yes.
And Jonathan Pryce, right. I believe, gets his first as well. So that's a good category, I suppose.
And Joaquin's pretty much running away.
He's walking. He's walking. Right? Walking with it.
He's walking.
He's walking away with an Oscar. There is no doubt in any mind in anything, unless SAG and BAFTA just suddenly give it to Adam Driver. But I don't think they will.
That'd be fun though.
God, that'd be weird. Yeah, that'd be good. Best actress in a leading role: Cynthia Erivo, Harriet. Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, Charlize Theron, Bombshell, Renee Zellweger, Judy. The four below Cynthia are all what we expected. No, they're not. We have two surprises here, generally. A lot of actresses were riding around this category might sneak in. Cynthia Erivo gets in. Saoirse Ronan gets in. No Awkwafina, no Lupita Nyong'o. Both are people in my five who I think should have been nominated. Cynthia Erivo is a great showing. She's a great actress. She's really good in the movie. The movie's not so good. It is very ironic that the Oscars were able to slide past Oscars So White this year.
Yeah.
By nominating someone for playing Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
Is wild.
I mean, it's a... I wouldn't say so much that it's wild as it is a... like the most predictable option.
I think it's very funny. It's very
It's both funny, but like it's not like, oh my god, can you believe they did that? Of course I can.
Yeah, very funny when they're just like, oh, we should nominate someone diverse. Who's playing the most famous diverse person this year? Good. Give it to them.
The most famous diverse person.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not.
That's what I thought. Saoirse Ronan nominated for four Oscars now, and she's 24 years old.
Let's see, I will double check that math.
That's got to be
24.
I think so. Better watch it, Noah. Trying to see if anybody has anything to say about that.
I love when you search Saoirse Ronan on IMDb. The thing that comes up in the search bar is Saoirse Ronan actress Hannah. That is what she is most known
That's
for.
That's her.
Yeah, she is nominated for... Oh, let's see if IMDb is updated.
Atonement?
Yes, it is for.
Let me go through it. Atonement?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm already missing one. Brooklyn. Lady Bird. And this.
Yeah.
Little Women.
Yeah. She's on a she had an 8-year hiatus and is now just every other year racking up a
she's gonna be like the Kate Winslet by the time she's like 26. Everyone's like, why doesn't she have an Oscar? We gotta give her one. Yeah. That's all, wild.
Yeah. The past three are all lead actress though.
That's crazy. Scott Feinberg on Twitter says Brad Pitt, who was previously nominated for 12 Monkeys in 96 or something, and Moneyball, and Benjamin Button, but his latest was Moneyball in 2008, right? He's going up against Joe Pesci, who has his first nomination in 29 years, Al Pacino, who has his first nomination in 27 years, Tom Hanks, who has his first nomination, Anthony Hopkins, who has his first nomination in 22 years, and Tom Hanks, who has his first nomination in 19 years.
It's just a weird category.
Isn't that odd that they're all just like, welcome back to the party?
Yeah.
Best director. Let me see. I skipped past it. Martin Scorsese, The Irishman. Todd Phillips, Joker. Sam Mendes, 1917. Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Bong Joon-ho, Parasite. Todd Phillips gets in. Just, can you go through, like, the past few years of director and just pick the one that we're all just kind of like, wow, whatever, guys, come on.
I can do that.
Because that's Todd Phillips this year. I don't understand the fascination with Joker. The rest of the category is super strong. Scorsese, Quentin, Mendes, Bong.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, the thing that, thing that people like, all right, past few years, let's see. I mean, last year, your mileage may vary. I would say Adam McKay.
Was it fairly nominated?
No.
Oh, what are the nominees?
Cuaron for Roma, Lanthimos for The Favorite, Spike Lee, Adam McKay, and Pavel Pavlovsky.
For what? What was Pavel for? Cold War. Oh, yeah. That doesn't really have my example, but yeah, no. you can go with that. It's fine.
2017 does not have one.
Okay.
Those are all good. 2016, Mel Gibson.
Yep, that's one.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
2015 doesn't really have one. Everyone liked Room.
No, but for us.
Yeah, yeah.
That counts for us.
Sure. I thought you liked Room.
Not for Best Director.
All right. How is she going to get such a moving performance out of a tiny little baby boy? 2014.
How dare you talk about William H. Macy like that?
Listen, he's a wanted criminal now.
He was harboring a fugitive.
2014 had Morton Tilden, The Imitation Game.
Yep.
2013 didn't have one. Those were all solid and expected. 2012, I mean, Ben Zeitlin was weird, but.
Oh, it's welcome,
like a
though.
Good pick.
Like a warm hug.
No, there's actually a...
Hey, you gave like three or four examples.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
All right.
I'm fine with that suiting my theory.
Sure.
Point is, over Greta, over Lulu, who else was snubbed here that could have gotten in?
Oh, boy.
Where's picture?
Yeah. Where is picture, indeed? I don't know. I'm not going to be able to think of anything.
I found it. Taika, Noah Baumbach, any of these people.
Yeah.
Over Joker. And there are more. I mean, the softies, you could say, Robert Eggers. I mean, there's 1,000 of them, but like ones that could have gotten in, literally 1,000.
I know. No, I'm laughing at the idea of Robert Eggers being nominated for Best Director.
He was in my five. He was in my five for a while.
I think he belongs there. I think The Lighthouse is one of the best movies of the year, but it's for it to get any nominations at all is kind of stunning to me.
Willem Dafoe had like a very outside shot. Either early on in the season, he was supposed to be in the five.
That would have been neat. This is one of those years when they're showing clips. I think he would just be going, Hark!
One of those years where they're showing clips.
I mean, sometimes they skip them.
Don't mess with the seagull.
it's a seabird.
Seabird!
It's bad luck to it's mess
a,
with a seabird.
It's a compilation of him saying seabird. Seabird.
You like me lobster, though, don't you?
And it just ends with him being like, "Did you mess with a seabird, didn't you?"
Told you.
Anyway.
Yeah, Todd Phillips sucks.
I don't know, man. It's just wild. It had the most nominations of the night. What the fuck? What are we all doing with ourselves?
Well, let's talk about it. And the big one.
What? Oh, picture. I didn't do picture.
No.
I've already closed the link. Tell us picture, please. I'm trying to find the thing.
Yeah, all right. So picture, we have Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
Yeah, that's pretty...
So you said earlier in the show that you think Parasite is now no longer a contender, or at least no longer like a front-running contender.
I don't think it's a front-runner.
Okay.
Well, again, if it wins SAG, sure. I think so, but there's...
But as it stands right now.
If it had gotten an acting nominee like Roma had, Roma got two acting nominees.
Fat lot of good that did it.
But it was in contention.
Yeah, it was in the conversation.
It's hard to think Parasite is when Roma picked up like the same nominations and didn't end up winning and had two acting nominations on top of it. That's just hard for me to get around. But... I think it's still between that, Irishman, and Once Upon a Time. I don't think Joker's hype is that. I might get a lot of below the line Oscar wins. That does not translate to the Best Picture. I still can't see them giving Joker Best Picture. I don't see enough people putting that as their twos or threes. I think people are either going one on Joker.
Yeah.
Or eight.
I knew Joker was going to get a lot of nominations, but still, it's, you know, seeing it actually happen laid out in front of me, I am not back to thinking Joker is going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
But I think there are clearly enough people that are like, Joker is actually good, guys, that I would not be surprised to see it. Do you not think 1917 has a chance?
Oh, yeah, 1917 could certainly win. Okay. Yeah. 1917 tied with The Irishman in Hollywood for the second most nominations. So, yeah, that could certainly win.
Yeah. I think it's a... I don't think The Irishman's in it.
Oh, no, Dolomite is my name for costume? Come on, man. That could have been an easy win.
I don't know if it was still in the conversation, but not for actor.
What?
Dolomite.
Oh, no. It was maybe for actor, but no, I thought it could have won costume design.
Yeah.
Should have been nominated, at least. The directors are all male again, which is, we had such a strong year for female directors, and yet here we are. This is why they should, and I said this at poker, to a very nice response, I thought. But because the Academy doesn't watch every movie and doesn't pay attention and doesn't try at this, they should have a thing where you have to check in with the amount of movies they have. Screeners should have little coatings on them to see if you've watched them, whatever. And if you don't vote in all the categories and don't watch at least 70% of the movies, for 2 years, you are then taken out of voting eligibility, and regular citizens like you and I who watch these movies and care about these awards... can be put on a wait list and try out and can then be selected to vote. I think that it just makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I also think just having a fan vote be a percentage of the thing would... I mean...
I'd get real worried about that. Joker would win Best Picture.
It wouldn't be a big percentage.
Yeah.
But listen, if the people are going to rise up in droves and demand Joker be the best film of the year... It'd have to be a lot of droves.
Oh, I see. They were going to say maybe it should be. Nomination tallies. Bombshell had 3. Little Women had 6. Strong showing for that. Marriage Story had 6. People thought it would have more. Parasite had 6. People thought it would have more. 1917, 10. Irishman, 10. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 10. And Joker, 11. Just that one. What do you think the one was? Is it director?
I think it was one of the little ones.
Was it like makeup?
It was always getting director.
Or costume.
It was costume.
Yeah, it's probably costume. Because the makeup I guess...
Sure.
Get my mind around. Costume, I don't understand at all. Yeah. So that's what I was saying to you was nice about these, is that it's very... A lot of things got a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of our bases covered. Let's go through and see how many we have to watch. Know what I try to watch every nominee? What?
Okay.
Did you not want to do that?
No, I think it's gonna be a lot to keep tally of.
A lot to keep, really? I don't think so. But all right. We can do it off screen if you want. Off screen. I'm so Hollywood. Off mic if you want. So then, recommend a movie for the folks for this week/weekend.
God, right, the regular podcast.
Mm-hmm.
1917 was really good.
Yeah,
that's nominated for a lot of Oscars.
It's gonna be my vote.
Go see it in a big loud theater because it's big and loud, and that's very rewarding when things explode, when things flash,
when things explode.
Yeah.
I say go see 1917, go in IMAX. It's quite a beautiful film visually and narratively. It's striking and it's very engrossing and it's beautiful. So go see that. Noah, plug us up.
Alright, you can find us at whatsinthebox office.com. We're on Twitter at @witboxoffice. That is also our Instagram handle. I'm on Twitter at Noah Drucki.
I'm at Brian Deserber, DASURBER.
Of course, the feed for our podcast, where it all starts, the source of everything. We are
the source of everything.
Yes.
Wow. Tree of Life.
We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. Pretty much anywhere you go to find podcasts. Please rate, review, smash that subscribe button.
Ooh, as smash! The children say. Ooh, smash! That's all you got?
That's what they say now. It's all I ever have. All
right. You have a month to see these Oscar nominees, as do we. And we've seen all the best pictures. That's nice. It's the first one I'm looking at. All
right.
Got them covered. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, where we will be giving our superlatives for the Oscars. So categories you will not hear on Oscar night. We'll give our choices, including best scene, best debut, and most deserving of a sequel it won't get, among others. That's next week, plus analysis about Bad Boys for Life, Doolittle, and the second weekend hold of 1917. I have been your host, Brian.
I've been your host, Noah.
This has been What's in the Box Office. We'll see you next week, and until then, go see a movie.